Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Breton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there's everybody's favorite cuzzy Shane. He was the early one this time around. How's it going, brother?
Wasn't me this time. Going good, brother. How you doing? Well, let's preface that. You know, I'm over it now. I was a little upset last night. Obviously, Tennessee cannot hit a wide open three-pointer, but you know, other than that, everything else has been fantastic, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll get to in all that. We had some SEC action last night. We got SEC action coming up.
Yeah.
And buddy. I didn't even told you this, Shane. So we haven't put it out there yet for the cousins, but we got two great interviews I did already today. Mm-hmm. Our buddy Matt Hayes from USA Today. Got some fantastic stuff all across the SEC. First question, Shane, I work so hard. I get all these interviews. I get them on. First question, I say, hey, Matt. And he said, hey, where's Shane? He's like, I wouldn't even have showed up if Shane wasn't going to be here. So that's for you, buddy. And then we also got the great Nick Roush, Kentucky Sports Radio. And, buddy, was he high on the hog, so to speak, after Kentucky beat Tennessee. So it's an all-timer. We're going to put those out very, very soon. But, man, I know things are slowing down from a football sense, but we're still trying to keep his channel as entertaining as possible. You know what?
Absolutely, man. Well, I mean, it doesn't look like we work. It looks like we show up like 5 minutes late and jump into this thing. Maybe that's what we do sometimes, but we got a lot of stuff working on behind the scenes. Not just those interviews, Mike. We're working on a new segment, Big Cuz Does. So be sure to have your YouTube subscriptions logged in, notifications on. We got some unique stuff coming up here, and I think the cousins will like it.
Yes, sir. So, all right, let's get on with it, Shane.
Yes, sir.
And we do have a short clip. Shane found this. All credit in the world to Shane again. I mean, all the guy does is work his ass off over here. But shout out Archie Miller, who's apparently the biggest idiot in we thought we were the biggest idiots in college football. No, that title belongs to old Archie Miller.
Difficult. I heard somebody say the other day, like, you know, the SEC is the best league in the country, but you know, in all games, they're like 54-54. Somebody said that. I don't know if that's even accurate, but like, do you know how hard it is in every league, you know, to win? You know, it's just hard to win any game. And I think,
damn, Shane, the best basketball conference in the world is 54-54, which is 100% true. He's got us dead to rights. The problem with that statement, Shane, he's saying since conference play began, how in the hell can you have a winning or losing record when you're just playing yourself? So, idiot of the day goes to old Archie down there.
Absolutely. You know what? And I'll slow it down if the cousins are listening to this tomorrow morning on their way to work. He was referencing since January 6th, the SEC is 54-54. Well, they've only played each other. So you can only have one winner, one loser. Doesn't matter if they had 1,000 games, it'd be 500-500. So I love it, man. I mean, I look at that Rhode Island shirt, man. I always think, when I think Rhode Island, I think state troopers and smart people. And he's neither one of those, man.
Yeah, and to prove his point, Shay, we got updated NCAA bracketology from ESPN's Joe Lenardi. So I'm just going to throw it up here on the screen, Shane. We've been saying the last time we talked about this was about a week ago.
Yeah.
They had 12 teams projected to be 12 SEC teams in the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to say, Shane, it's no longer 12. Conference, you know, like Archie said, we're 54-54. Yeah. It's 13 now. Come on, 13 teams now. Yeah. Currently projected, according to Joe Lenardi, to make the NCAA tournament. Go through these, the two still at the top, Auburn and Alabama, both projected to be one seeds, with Auburn projected to be the number one overall seed in the entire NCAA tournament.
Yep.
Alabama's a basketball state now, as well as a conference here. We got Florida and Tennessee, both projected as two seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Although the Vols, I don't know if that's going to
put them out. Just get them out. So I'm not heartbroken, you know.
Kentucky, three seed. Mississippi State and Texas A&M, four seeds. Ole Miss, six seed. Missouri, seven seed. And on and on and on. Man, this is awesome. Vanderbilt, Georgia, Oklahoma and Texas all projected to be in, with Arkansas and LSU just outside there. Well, outside, I don't know about just out, you know, they're they're the last two out. So, I mean, it's conceivable if Arkansas and LSU heat up, maybe the SEC, can we get 15 in here? Can we get greedy with it?
Where's South Carolina? They're not even on the list, are they? That's the one we don't talk about. But hey, I will say this: I heard it on SEC actually this morning. They were talking about Vanderbilt being top 25. This is the first time in SEC history that we've had 14 teams at some point in the top 25. Ooh. 14 out of 16, Mike. I think they showed it 88%. That tied records from 80s in the ACC. That's just how long this thing's been. And so, again, we joke about, you know, him coming out and talking about the 54-54. I mean, you could say it so many times, but it doesn't change the fact that this league is absolutely loaded in basketball.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, you sound like Rick Barnes, like you're making excuses now.
Yeah.
Let's tackle that real quick. Kentucky goes into Tennessee and beats them. Tennessee's really good at home, but it didn't matter last night. 78-73, and a game was, quite frankly, was never really in doubt. I mean, Tennessee made a run or two there, but any concern now that Tennessee's lost to Kentucky, they lost to Vanderbilt, they lost to Auburn, they're losing all these teams here?
I mean, these are the teams. Like, if you're going to go deep in the tournament, you got to beat, and especially at home. I think that's the discouraging part, is not so much that you lost to Kentucky, is that you lost to them at home as, what, 11-point favorites coming into this thing. So that's the disheartening part. And you know, you watch some of the shots. I mean, it was crazy. It's like almost – I mean, you give me 11 attempts at the three-point line, Mike. Here at the local community center, I'm probably going to drain at least four of them, five of them maybe, you know what I'm saying, uncontested. But I know, I get it. Easier said than done.
Yeah, what was it? Tennessee shot 43 three-pointers?
Yeah. It was the second most three-point attempts that Tennessee's ever had in men's basketball. So it was up there, 43. And Rick, I don't know if you got any clips on – do you got any barn clips? They asked him. They said, now, even though they were open, do you – you know, something – I'm paraphrasing. He goes, would you want this team shooting 40? He was pretty much said, hell no. You know? Oh, man. It felt like there for a moment, two guys in particular, that they would just say, hey, let's try something different.
Right. You know, you got to things are bad when the other team's like, you know, we want them to have wide open shots. That was our strategy to winning the damn game. But
yeah, Barnes is like, yeah, they just kept backing up. The more we missed, the closer they got to the rim. Now, you think about rec ball, man. You're playing in the gym, and then you got the ball. You're at the 3-point line, and no one comes out to guard you. That's a sign. That's a sign you should pass the damn thing.
Right, and that's why I got the blue up, Shane. I'm doing it in Kentucky's honor because they're kicking ass right now in basketball. But then tonight, that's why we're going a little bit early, because we got games coming up.
Yep.
Number one Auburn at LSU. Number 4 Alabama at number 14 Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. And then the Chris Beard Bowl, Texas, former Texas coach, now at Ole Miss, number 23, Ole Miss hosting that game. That'll be tonight too. So more basketball action to catch tonight. Can't wait for those games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of good storylines coming in. I think in particular the Alabama one. That's the one we're all going to watch, you know, what Oates decides to do with the lineup. But, I think we got a lot of great games tonight. And, even the games you don't think are going to be good are probably going to come down to the wire. So I look forward to that, and I'm glad we pushed the shows up on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, Mike.
Right. All right, so this is the show topic I'm going with. We'll switch back to football, Shane. Shane's making fun of me this season. I am doing some behind the scenes stuff though, Shane, where I'm working on some data that as soon as that's done, we're getting back into returning production statistics and transfer portal rankings. So that it's taken me a long time to do it and do it right. So that's coming soon. But I was hoping to get some of that done, but it's not quite done yet. So we're going How about this? Now, see if you can wrap your head around this, Shane, because I don't want to start getting into this until you have it figured out, because I feel like I do a bad job personally when I label something or I give the show title, and then we get about halfway through and you're like, oh, this is what you're going for. So
yeah.
So this is what we're going for. I got 10 games here that are being played next football season.
Yeah.
10 games that are not considered rivalry games that could turn into rivalries this upcoming season. Does that make any sense at all?
Yeah. Let me ask you, because I do got a couple notes on this one. Are we talking about you see them potentially playing on an annual basis, or do you think that there's going to be a lot of blood loss in this upcoming match, that there's just going to be a natural hatred for this other program whenever they see them on the schedule?
Yeah, it's more the second.
Okay.
Like we're really developing a heated, like 5 years ago, South Carolina, Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's not a rivalry, is it? But I know they haven't played the last couple of years, unfortunately, or last year. But I would argue that has developed into one hell of a rivalry for a number of reasons. So that's kind of what I'm going for.
Yeah, that makes sense then. Yes.
All right. So, and then I had to cheat because just one I had to cheat on, because I tried to do this list right. But this was the only non-conference game on the docket here, Shane. I know this is cheating because you have no idea, but is there one game, week one, non-conference, one SEC team, one out of conference team, that you're most excited to see week one?
Texas and Ohio State.
That's where I'm going, brother. So again, for obvious reasons, they just played. They played in the college football playoff.
Yeah,
the way the sport is now. I mean, I'm not a big fan of, like, you know how last year the discussion, Shane, was can Georgia and Texas face three times? Well, like, they did it twice. So who knows? Ohio State and Texas, regardless of who wins August 30th, we may be seeing each other again in the playoffs. So because of what happened last year, because this is the first game, because it's Arch Manning, because it's week one, because Ohio State is likely to make the playoff, and Texas, if let's say you beat Ohio State week one, I'd almost guarantee you make the playoff as well. So does it make sense that Texas and Ohio State could start to form a nice rivalry here?
Let's just face it, Mike. Anybody that faces Ohio State is immediate fan of mine. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't give a shit if it were Vanderbilt, Carson Newman. It does not matter. Whoever that team is that's played Ohio State, I'm rooting for them, and it's became a rivalry. But you are correct. This is two teams that are probably going to be talked about more than others this offseason, Mike. This is going to be the hot topic at SEC Media Days. It's going to be the hot topic, Big Ten game. That we are going to hear about this game a lot. But I think, too, Mike, there's a lot riding on this football matchup. And the reason I say that is when we get to the end of this year, you saw it last season, you're going to see it again in future seasons, we're looking for these comparable games. And when they're trying to figure out how much, you know, love we give for Texas or how much, you know, reserve we give for Ohio State, they're going to base it off week one, even though these teams are going to change and mold by, you know, October. So I think this is a pivotal matchup for our league in particular, because it's a gauge of where we're actually at.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because I was factoring that in too. I know not everybody subscribes to, you know, SEC. So some people just want to see their team win. They want to see them all the rest lose. Believe me, I get that too. But who knows? Come playoff selection committee time, games like this could determine it. You know, not necessarily this one, but I mean, I'm just making this up. But let's look at Texas' schedule. Let's say they beat Ohio State, but let's say they slip up against Florida or something like that. You know, that may be a difference between Florida getting in, because it's like, well, they're the only ones that beat 11-1 Texas. You know what I mean? So there's so many things. Big Ten got four last year, Shane. SEC only got three. Games like this could determine who gets the fourth, And I think the Big Ten and SEC are behind the scenes are both saying we each better get four. But
I think we got a small dose of it in 24 with LSU and USC, and then LSU, you know, barely getting by South Carolina. And then, because you got to remember at the time, we put USC at a pedestal, and then when they started losing games, we kind of took it away. But then we discredit South Carolina. I just, you know, one of these bubble teams, it may have hurt, even though, you know, they didn't play USC. So, yeah, I think these week one, two, three matchups, they're very, especially Big Ten, and, you know, top of the ACC, we've got a Clemson game coming up again. These are games that are going to determine or help determine the playoffs next year.
Right. And, buddy, you know, you just take a glance at the comments. Mm-hmm. Some people are already sick of Arch Manning.
Yeah.
He comes out here and he has five touchdowns and beats defending national champions in Columbus.
Yeah.
I mean, ESPN's just going to dedicate, an hour of programming to Arch Manning every day. You know what?
Yeah, he'll come out with his own football game. He went from not being in one, and now Arch has got his own. Like the Tiger Woods of college football.
All right, how about this one, Shane? I think you're going to like this one. Because this is more, all the rest are SEC. I don't think this is a rivalry game.
Is this order? Is it? I'm just, sorry. Did
Nah, I just 10, okay. 10 and random, basically.
I just like to create drama, Mike.
This, I don't think, is a rivalry just yet. I think it could develop into one. You let me know what you think. How about Oklahoma? What was their big win last year, Shane?
What was Oklahoma's big win? Mm-hmm. Alabama?
Alabama, come on. Now, this year's different, of course. It's in Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm. Makes it a lot tougher. You do get the bye before you face it if you're the Sooners. Meanwhile, Alabama, I mean, they're not going to have much of, you know, the Alabama fans, I think, playing Oklahoma at home, you expect to win this one.
Yeah.
Well, you expected to beat them last year, too. You were double-digit favorites. Cost your team and your coach a berth at the college football playoff. So suddenly you flip this one, and Oklahoma wins it. You beat you two out of two as SEC opponents. All of a sudden, two of the best brands, brightest brands, biggest, whatever you want to say, two programs that define the sport. Suddenly, we got ourselves one hell of a rivalry, I think, if Oklahoma does it again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny with these two teams is Oklahoma fans, Texas fans knew the show. They probably don't remember. But, you know, we've talked expansion before. And in dream worlds, what teams would we want to add? And Texas and Oklahoma have always been toward the top of that list. And we talked about dream scenarios. You know, Nick Saban at his peak, you know, going against an Oklahoma. We thought that, and especially when we found out they were coming into the SEC, you know, it's easy to pick a Mizzou or a Texas because we're going to get to see those. But when you talk about storied programs, Oklahoma, Alabama has always been to the top. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. Oh, my gosh, look, Oklahoma. God owns them right now, 4-2. You know, I know it's a small window here, but damn, yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it? These two storied programs have only faced each other seven times.
Well, people sit there and they make these lists of the greatest college football teams out there, and Alabama is usually number one. But then you look at teams like Oklahoma, which, again, small size, seven games, but they got you right now. You know what I'm saying? So it takes, of course, Vanderbilt's got Texas. So I guess we can't get too carried away. But I do love it, and I'm right there with you. This isn't the last time. You know, Oklahoma's not going to suck forever. And I feel like there's going to be moments where these two teams may meet in SEC championships. These two teams may be competing for Heisman candidates, you know. So I'm looking forward to that. So small sample size hasn't been the start they want, but I think in the distance, Oklahoma, Alabama could be really, really exciting for SEC fans.
And I mean, who knows? Again, I know most people are underselling Oklahoma right now, and I think that's totally fair, but come November 15th, you know, they pull an upset or two. this could be a battle for a playoff spot. You know, that there's going to be a lot on the line come November 15th when Oklahoma travels to Alabama. And Kalen DeBoer, I'm just saying, buddy, you better not you better not drop this one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know if playoff spot in Oklahoma belong in the right center. You know, maybe future, but I maybe keeping Bama from one. I Oklahoma fans know. You've been hanging out with me long enough. I think you deserve better. I don't think you're going to get better, unfortunately. But I do think that you keep knocking off teams like Bama. You knock off teams like Tennessee. You know, you knock off some of these top 25 programs, and people start taking account. Definitely, I think this is a perfect program to make a championship run. But they got a talk of 25. That's going to be that's a tall glass of water. I guess how you create rivalries when you're an underdog is pulling off the upset. So you do that a couple years in a row, then people from Alabama are just naturally going to hate you because you beat them and you ruined something for them.
Now here's another one, Shane. This might be cheating as well because it is listed as a rivalry.
Yeah.
But I don't know if either fan base in their heart of hearts I don't know if they consider it a rivalry right now. I really don't. I could be wrong, but let's go your boy, Hugh Freeze, Shane. At October 11th, Georgia, Shane. Again, I realize this is, these are...
It's the oldest.
Right. It's an elite rivalry, or, you know, it has been, but, buddy, let's see this. Da-da-da-da. Georgia has dominated 8 in a row. This would be 9. It's at Auburn this year. I'm putting this on the list because I think, as we both do, Auburn should be much improved next year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how they prove it. These are the teams you got to knock off. I mean, if you're getting your head kicked in, but look at it. Even I know it may be hard for people to see the scores here, but I mean, most of these games are not even that close. 27-20 was like the closest one in the last 5 seasons.
Yeah.
So this has been a one-sided rivalry since Kirby Smart got there. Auburn's only won 3 since 2005.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we've got this is one of the great rivalries in the sport. We've got to kick it at some point. It's got to turn around. I don't know, again, how much of a rivalry this is considered to be for each of these fan bases. I know historically it's a great one, but this could be one of the better games that is maybe not quite a rivalry on the field that could develop one in 2025. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it's crazy, you know, because this is the Deep South's oldest rivalry is what this matchup's called. So
yeah,
but who views it as a rivalry? I get, you know, your old farts do, maybe because you remember Cam Newton year or something. You know, it's like, but you got to remember this is a program that would go in runs. There'd be years Alabama would own it or Auburn would own it. There'd be years that Georgia owns it. It goes back. It shouldn't be Georgia gets 5 years, you get one.
Right.
That's not how a true rivalry. And that's why Auburn's such a tough spot, man. We always talked about it with the West and the Iron Bowl and, you know, just the games that are, and then by the way, the team you had to play in the East is Georgia Bulldogs. So it's like they never had an easy draw, but they never backed down from it either. And that's why Auburn's won national championships and put a lot of players in the NFL. It's just a great, great program. It just hasn't been there. We tried to make it there. I'll never forget what we were talking about. What's the kid who went to Oregon?
Bo Nix?
Bo Nix. You know, I mean, we put, like, Bo Nix has a hell of a game. He's going to – and then they get smoked by Georgia. It's just this game has had buildup, but it's just never had the outcome to produce a rivalry. But how you fix that is you get better. You get more talent, and I feel like Auburn's got more talent this season, and I feel like the gap has closed a little bit. So that – who knows? A pull-off, an upset here, you could spark that thing right back up.
How about Cousin Evan? He says Hugh Freeze will never beat Kirby.
Oh, shit. Screenshot that one. What's he going to do? What's he going to do if that ever happens? Yeah. I would say ever. That's not fair, you know. But
he said ever. Not I didn't say it. He said it.
Do you, okay, let me ask you, Mike.
Will actually, he's beaten him once before. We should note that.
Yeah. But moving forward, will Hugh okay. Freeze ever beat Kirby Smart?
I'm with you. I would never say never.
Yeah.
Because this could be the year, man.
Next five years, will Hugh Freeze beat Kirby Smart?
I've updated my graphics here, Shane. I know you love Hugh. There's a lot of losses on here, but
what a face. He can't. That's disgust right there. He can't believe you're having to think this long about Auburn beating Georgia.
See, here's the problem, Shane. He could get fired next year. So if we're saying ever, he said, yeah, go ahead, screenshot it. So
yeah, it's not even his real name, you know. He's Cousin Evan. That's I like that, brother.
How about shout out Michael Riley? He says DeBoer will never beat Vandy.
Oh shit. Well, Hugh, I mean, I don't know. Will Pavia ever lose to Hugh Freeze?
How about this one, Shane? I don't think is a rivalry right now.
Yeah.
But I think it could become one. What's the game? If I throw up the schedule from last year, it'll give it away. But what is the opponent that they play this year? The Missouri Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
All the SEC is the same anyway. But the one where the wheels kind of fell off last year.
Shit, A&M.
A&M, come on down. Well, the blanket part two over here. I got Missouri. Yeah, who knows? They may be undefeated. A&M. I think it's going to be a huge game for both of these. If they want to reach the playoff, it's a must win for each. Mm-hmm. And again, there's history here. They've played a number of years themselves, but I think this could be one that is developing into a little rivalry here.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of chirping before that game.
Yeah.
And there wasn't so much chirping after, except from one fan base, you know. So
right.
I think, too, getting your ass just killed. I feel like embarrassed, you know. People were putting you on this pedestal, these fat co-hosts for SEC podcast, you know. And then all of a sudden you just get embarrassed on national TV. And I think that sticks in your craw a little bit. So I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't fire back up, especially if Mizzou has a strong start. This fan base, very vocal online. And I feel like if they get a little more confidence coming into that matchup, then, yeah, that could make for an interesting game for sure.
Yeah, and again, if you're Mike Elko and company,
yeah,
you don't want to be losing games that you dominated the year before. You know, that to me is a rough look.
That's a great assessment, Smart Mike. Look at him. Because that's when we start getting closer to the season, we're all going to do it, wins and losses and tosses and all that.
Right.
There is not one A&M fan out there that is looking at that Mizzou game saying, well, that could be a toss-up. Not a loss. That could just – they're trying to justify it even being close. They're expecting another blowout, so you are right. And if Elko drops that one toward the tail end of the season, that's kind of when the wheels fell off for them last year. So, yeah, this is a – that could be an ugly game for whoever loses.
Any shot that A&M pulls any kind of Missouri-like blanket props or anything, you know, they bring something out?
Texas A&M will. Texas A&M's got enough to pick at with the milk and the dancing boys down there, but I think that they've got something on Mizzou now, and you better believe there's going to be blankets passed through. They may do like the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, be turned. Terrible blankets.
Yeah. Well, you know what's not terrible, Shane?
What's that, man?
Rocket Money. Come on. Head on over to rocketmoney.com. Put in that promo code Game On, Shane. Don't forget the promo code. That's how they know that we sent you over there. And Rocket Money is a personal finance app. It's fantastic. Helps you cancel unwanted subscriptions. It takes a look at everything you're subscribed to. You can unsubscribe in a simple click of a button. Or if you got other financial goals for 2025, like you're trying to save up to buy a property like myself, you're trying to get yourself out of credit card debt, student loan debt, pay a vehicle off, whatever it is, Rocket Money's got all kinds of plans and advice, strategies to help you build some wealth behind the scenes. So rocketmoney.com, promo code game on, head on over there. Cannot recommend this enough. You know what?
Absolutely, man. I mean, the subscription thing alone, I was probably saving $100 a month off this thing. Yeah, I didn't even kind of realize it. In fact, I had to Google what some of these apps were that I was apparently subscribed to. Half of them my kids did. So, I think it's a great investment. And shit, part of the reason we're going on vacation, Mike. So I found a little extra cheddar in the account. So now we're going to go down there and see Orlando.
Yeah, Stephen Up says maybe Rocket Money can pay some of these buyouts.
Yeah.
Hey, well, hey, this one was going to make a list, Shane.
What's that?
Texas. One more time. We got Texas on the list. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of rivals in this conference already. Well, give me Texas and give me, who do you think, Shane? Georgia. Come on. They faced off twice already. I mean, it seems like this is quickly becoming something here where both these teams are cooking. Both these teams got national championship and conference championship aspirations. And this time, they're meeting up in Athens, brother.
Yep.
Thoughts on this matchup potentially turning into a heated rivalry here?
I think it's there, you know. I think it's there, especially when you play, like you said, you play twice. We argued three times, and shit, you could turn around and say it could happen again next year. So you keep meeting a team, eventually you're going to really hate them. You're going to hate facing them. You're going to hate the fans. You're going to hate, you know, driving all the way down to Austin or driving all the way up to Athens, you know, because the last time you were there, you got beat or something, you know. Last thing, you got shit thrown on you. You know, there's all kinds of stuff that heats up with this rivalry. But I love it, man. You know, I was wondering where those rivalries are going to come from when Texas and Oklahoma join, just like I did when A&M and Mizzou, you know, came over to this side. And brother, it's you're watching it. You're watching it unfold right now. Texas has got beat twice, but all it takes is just once for Texas to beat Georgia, then all of a sudden you better watch them dog come at you.
Yeah, isn't it wild though, Shader? Still. You know, this is so new with Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But it's wild seeing Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas, Georgia. Like, these teams have barely faced, yet we've already got history. You know, we got Oklahoma again. That was their big win last year. Mm-hmm. That was when Alabama fans, God, they love Jalen Milrow. They hate his ass now. Why? Because he, you know, threw bad picks and all this against Oklahoma. What, Georgia and Tennessee fans are battling out. They battled over Arch Manning. Texas won that. Well, Georgia won the two games on the field. So this could be one of the best rivalries in the conference for years and years to come.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you're seeing it, like you said, not just recruits, but NIL, transfer portals. These are two teams that are going to be going neck and neck forever. So you still a few players, you still a few coaches maybe in the future. This one's going to be kind of cemented in my mind as a rivalry for a long time.
Yeah. Now, how about this one, Shane? Because I know you Tennessee people, you got a lot of teams you hate, right?
Yeah.
Well,
every single one of them. Even that dragon up there. I remember there was a close game with them once.
Exactly. Well, how about this one? This is one where I have been dying for these teams to play more and more, and that we finally got it last season, Shane, and it was a damn nightmare. Tennessee and Arkansas. Arkansas won four in a row, Shane. I thought they owed the Arkansas Razorbacks. Hell no, they don't. I mean, hell, if Chad Morris was a coach over there, I think I'd have confidence in Arkansas to pull it off again. So this is one where Tennessee desperately needs to flip back they don't got to win every year, but at some point you got to beat the Razorbacks. And now that we're seeing these teams like this face each other more, I think it's great for the conference, but it's only great if it's somewhat of an even series here. You know what?
Yeah, yeah. So when was the last time we beat these cats here? I'm trying to look.
2007.
God, what a good year, you know? It's been downhill ever since 2007, you know? because the problem was there's a few games I felt like Tennessee was going to win.
Right.
And they didn't. So, yeah, I mean, you kind of almost knocked us off our perch completely last year. You come into Tennessee this season. If you do that, you know, people are already talking about how easy Vol's schedule is. And, you know, we got a little, I don't know, a little wiggle room last year after that loss because it was early in the season. But I don't know, man. You drop it here. If you lose another game or potentially two, you may get knocked out. So you're right. I remember more losses with Arkansas than I do wins, unfortunately.
Right. And if you're an Arkansas fan, I mean, this was one of the best wins of maybe the best win of the Sam Pittman era.
Mm-hmm.
Saved his job, perhaps. I think it very well did. Had they lost that, I think he probably is not the coach there anymore.
Yeah,
because they wouldn't have went to a bowl game. So, could be some similar vibes here. I mean, you got 2 weeks to prepare. You'd be coming off there. Imagine Shane. Imagine Taylen Green's as good as we say he is.
Yeah,
and they're undefeated or. Worst case, 4-1, something like that. But just let's say they knock out. I just want them to beat Notre Dame is what I really want. I want to see them beat Notre Dame at home. That there'll be so much hype, so much anticipation, 2 weeks to prepare. This could be one hell of a showdown.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think that it will be. You know, I don't think there's a team, too many teams on Arkansas's list that people have marked them off, man. They said, hey, there's no way they're going to beat Notre Dame. There's no way they're going to beat Ole Miss. There's no way they're going to beat Tennessee. There's no way they're going to beat A&M. You know, but I think, brother, this is a team that may not go to a college football playoff, but it may prevent some teams from doing it. So, yeah, keep your eyes out for them Razorbacks.
All right, how about this one, Shane? Never in a million years would I think this could be a rivalry. I think it may turn into one. Especially if it happens.
Oh, really? No,
we could throw that in there. I'm thinking Ole Miss, and I'm thinking who wrecked their season? Obviously Kentucky, but the other team that really did it in Florida Gators. Come on, I know it's late in the season, but
yeah,
man, the Lane Kiffin Bowl here. Never in a million years, Shane, have I seen a fan base so fired up.
Mm-hmm.
To land a coach, and then so damn happy they didn't land him. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
This is wild times we're living here, and this has been one hell of a series. I'll throw it up here. It has been, man, neck and neck. And let's see, 13-12. Florida leads it. Florida's won three in a row. Again, they haven't played that often.
Yeah,
it's a damn shame. You know, those three games go back about. 11 years here, whatever, 9 years. But we're going to get more matchups between these two schools in the years to come. And as long as Lane Kiffin is down in Oxford, I think this is going to be a really good game here.
Yeah, I do too. And you've made an interesting comment, though. Let me ask you something. If you're a common Florida Gator fan, mm-hmm. and you're excited, you're pumped up about this coming season, and you're thinking people are going to disrespect you, and they shouldn't, because you're going to pull off some upsets and you're going to, who knows, make a college football playoff. But they gave you a genie shows up and says, hey, buddy, you get one wish. You get one coach. Do you want to keep Coach Napier or do you want Lane Kiffin? Do you still keep Billy, keep his train rolling? Or because you made an interesting comment that they're kind of glad they didn't get him. But
yeah.
Would they – still take Lane over Billy right now?
Well, this is cheating, but yeah. I gotta ask a follow-up to this hypothetical.
Yes.
Do they still get to keep DJ Lagway?
Yes, complete coach swap. Yeah,
Billy. Because DJ made it very clear that you know he's here for Billy.
Yeah. So he goes, that's just in this thing, it's like it never happened. Billy just boom shows up in Oxford. And Lane's down there in Gainesville.
I think you make it, right? Yes. I think you do. But okay. Again, we don't live in those worlds. Yeah. But I will say this, because again, everybody knows I'm a critic of Billy Napier. I don't think he's awful. I don't think he's great. I think he's somewhere in between.
Yeah.
I think he's a hell of a identifier of talent, and he's a good recruiter. So that's paramount. But I'm trying to think of where I was going with that.
I think coaching is why it's a rivalry. It's not so much the football teams, the players. It's Lane trolling Florida up to this matchup, sending pictures of gators, you know, that he saw in a swamp on Twitter. You know, that's the part. Like, he really leaned in to this coach search, quote unquote coach search, or the buyout that they're putting together for Billy, yada, yada, yada. It's just, I don't know, man. It felt like this became a rivalry because of the situation in particular that Lane created. And then you build it up, and then you get knocked off right here before the playoffs start. You can't sit there and play your games anymore. And I feel like that's why this is becoming a rivalry, just like it kind of did a little bit with Auburn. You remember? Lane created that. I never thought Ole Miss-Auburn is such a great rivalry, but it became one when they were looking for a coach and Lane kept trolling the shit out of them.
Yeah, and by all accounts, Shane, I talked to Ole Miss people, talked to Florida people, talked to SEC-wide people. I mean, everybody says Kiffin was taking that job if offered. So it just makes it even crazier that he's sitting here trolling and gator picking and this, that, and the other, that he was going to go.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, it fell apart. But I figured out where I was rambling. You asked that question. Who would you rather have? It still is Kiffin, but the point I was trying to make, because I do think Kiffin's better than Billy Napier. I think the track record proves that, given Ole Miss history and Florida history and in recent, you know, last 20 years or so. But you're just asking which coach would I rather have today, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Lane Kiffin, if Texas offers him, if the NFL offers him, if UCLA offers him, you know what I mean? Like, he could be gone tomorrow. Yeah. I don't think Billy Napier is the kind of guy that he's looking to jump around, or he's looking at the next job. He's not doing all the trolling. I think if he's successful, now he better be successful. I think he's a guy that could be at Florida for like 10, 15 years, but he's got to win at a much higher level than he has. But he's a guy I think he would stick it out as long as you have him.
I always wonder about that, you know, because we say that about a lot of coaches in the SEC. Coach Lee Vanderbilt, you know, found his dream job. This is as good as it gets. You know, do you think there's any coaches currently in the SEC right now that are not at their ideal dream job? You know, you mentioned
Lane. Oh, yeah.
So I'm thinking, like, I could see Lane wanting an Alabama job or a Texas job or something like that. I mean, I could see him wanting it, but do you see any coaches that actually have the opportunity to not just want a dream job but move to another program that maybe has a little bit higher prestige, if you will?
You're going to get me in trouble here, Shane.
No.
But we keep it real here, right?
Yeah.
There's when you say that, there's one guy at the top of the list. Mr. Eli Drinkwitz. but everything I know, he was trying to get that Auburn job.
Yeah.
That went to Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
So again, that doesn't mean he doesn't have got it rolling down there in Missouri. He does. Yeah. And he may stay there forever. But he would top that list. Like, if Florida offered him, I think he'd be gone tomorrow. If Oklahoma, I don't know, Oklahoma, I probably shouldn't say that. You know what I mean? If LSU offered him tomorrow, he'd take it.
Okay, I'm sorry. We kind of got off but I want to ask you. Let's go to the other Columbia. Shane Beamer just got the extension. Everybody's excited about the upcoming season. I don't know, man. I feel like if Beamer puts together another magical season, he may be one that
next starts. Next Oklahoma coach. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, you know, you see pictures of Beamer and who was it? Spurrier and all these down there. I mean, you never know. You never know. Do you think Shane Beamer may be one of those guys that potentially, maybe not, you know, next year or the year after, but you start looking at and start talking short list and opportunities. Is he a guy that could maybe go to another program?
I mean, it's hard for me to say because he just re-upped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think, I don't know. I think he's perfectly situated for South Carolina.
Yeah.
Now he keeps winning. Yeah. Someone, you know, again, this is all hypotheticals.
Yeah.
But let's say like Alabama offered him or something. Mm-hmm. You'd almost have to take it, wouldn't you?
I would think so because as great as he's been in Columbia, there are obviously some handicaps that they have to deal with that a program like Ohio State's not dealing with or a team like Texas isn't dealing with, you know, typically money and facilities and, you know, stuff like that. But he's made do, and there's a lot of kids on that team that are making some of the most money in the country right now. So I just wonder if Shane Beamer maybe kind of pigeonholing himself, but bringing them along, if that makes sense. Bringing along everybody, boosters and everything and expectations, you know, because success breeds that, you know. The more successful the program is, you're going to find the money, you're going to find the means. And I just wonder if he's not in this process making South Carolina become one of those dream jobs, even though it may not have been one when he started there.
Yeah. Hey, how about this comment from Splenda Daddy? He gave us $2, Shane. Oklahoma versus bowl eligibility. Going to be a huge rivalry.
Yeah. Oh, come on, baby.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Went off the trail there.
Yeah. How dare you, Shane? Well, speaking of South Carolina, that's right where I was going next. How about this one, Shane? What's one game? God, they want payback. They want a... wrong, so to speak. Is there one that stands out to you?
Oh, yeah. Well, they would love to get LSU back.
LSU, come on down. That's the one I was going for, Shade. Man, what a damn. We don't have to go there. But 20-2 is the all-time record. Again, they haven't played that often because of how stupid the scheduling was for years and years. Hopefully, we're done with all that. But, you know, I think this would be a big-time matchup. Again, not technically a rivalry, but it would be great, I think, for the Gamecocks to stick it back at old LSU, and maybe we could turn it into one, Shane. And if you're telling me that South Carolina's good enough to go on the road, beat LSU with all the smoke people like yourself is blowing up LSU's ass, then we got us one hell of a team this year, and we may have it. And it would also be extra sweet, Shane, that it could be the game that, hey, if the season goes sideways I don't think it's crazy. I'm not sitting here predicting this, but I don't think it's crazy. They literally cannot win an opener under Kelly. They're at Clemson week one, Florida week three. Florida just beat them, and then they're at Ole Miss. I mean, they might lose all those. I don't think they will, but they certainly may lose one or two of them. And then if they turn around and lose to South Carolina October 11th, the season could be gone at the midway point. So that would be extra sweet, I would think, for them South Carolina Gamecocks.
Oh, yeah. Abso-freaking-lutely. And I was also looking at the Wikipedia here. So 94 is the last time South Carolina beat them. And 94 is 12. The year after, they tied. And that sucks. You think the overtime rule's terrible now, man. Just walking off the football field 2020, that would be terrible. So, brother, South Carolina had, I mean, they'll be thinking about LSU all offseason. Because the opportunity for teams like South Carolina to get into a playoff has been very, very tough and minimum. And you had an opportunity last year, and it kept going back to them stupid-ass penalties that happened in that football game. It came down to injuries in that football game. It came down, I mean, there's just so many factors that kind of circled that LSU match. They went on to have better football games and worse football games. So I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say it was just a perfect season. But I feel like LSU, more importantly, is going to be on the top of their hit list just because of what they did to them the year prior. So you're right. A little controversy. What creates rivalries is fans hating each other, players hating, coaches hating. But it's these little storylines that come out that sticks with you for a long time. And, hell, if you go 10 more years without going to a playoff, everybody's going to remind you why they weren't in it because that stupid-ass ref there in that LSU game.
And what's crazy, Shane, I didn't realize this until just now. The only two times South Carolina has beat LSU, I know you were just looking at it, so this may be cheating, but each one was a one-point win.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've never even beat them by two. I mean, this is a wild series. You know what?
But could be a fun one. Could be a fun one. I'm so interested to see what I know we're going to get into 25, but what they're going to do moving forward, because LSU South Carolina shouldn't go years without playing each other. They should be doing this every other year at least. And I think that's part of the rivalry too. You know, I'd hate for something to build up over these two seasons and then we not get to see it again for 8 years.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about this one, Shane? I think this one side already, I think already admits this is a rivalry. I don't know about the other. Oklahoma at Mizzou. What a game, Shane. What a game. And I put it on this list. Again, maybe a little cheating because, like I said, Missouri, this is a rivalry to them.
Yep.
Not to Oklahoma. Well, how do you make it one, Shane? You lose to them back-to-back years coming into the SEC and particularly at home. If Oklahoma's losing this game, I don't know that they're winning any of the final month of the season. So this is a damn gauntlet. I mean, just look at the we've belabored this point already, but just the games leading up to this, Tennessee, at Alabama, then Mizzou, and this is overlooking Texas, South Carolina, and Ole Miss too, but just a damn gauntlet leading up to this matchup. Meanwhile, Missouri is kind of like taking a cruise here, Vanderbilt, A&M will be tough, Mississippi State leading into this one, but this could be one of the most heated rivalries in the SEC before long.
Yeah, by God, them Mizzou fans are going to make it one. I mean, that game was freaking awesome. It was an electric environment, and it's going to be an exciting, I think, ball game. The fact that it's, you know, Mizzou's going to have to go on the road now. And, this game we were talking about in the offseason, how we brought it up with Drink there at SEC Media Days. I told you it's going to be a good game. You said it's going to be a good game. Now, it did lose a little bit of its luster coming up to it, but all that went right out the window as soon as that football was laid down on the turf. So this is going to be a great, great rivalry for a long time, especially if they keep stealing each other's recruits and coaching staff. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen next. There's going to be some sort of drama, I'm sure. But I'm here for it, and I hope that we get to see more and more of these games.
All right, so final one here, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
See what you think about this one. This one, again, not being very competitive, but it was like maybe last year was the start of something.
Yeah.
Georgia and Ole Miss. Come on, Dad. Again, Georgia destroyed you 2 years ago. You turn right around and you destroyed them. If you can beat them in Athens, if you're Ole Miss, suddenly we got ourselves a rivalry here, I think.
Yeah.
And again, this is, I don't know why they overlook it, but Ole Miss has been outside of Georgia, outside of Alabama, which, hell, Alabama's taking a little bit of a step back. Ole Miss has been the most consistent, so about the third most consistent team in the last 4 years in the conference. So,
yeah.
I don't want to say they're peers because Ole Miss has now obviously won a Natty or an SEC, but They're basically the most consistent team that's yet to do that.
Yeah, I think that's the thing and why it's why it's kind of exciting is just they're both successful programs, and they're talked a lot about coming into the seasons, and this is a game that's always going to be circled when these two coaches are playing, just because we're going to get good football. Typically, that's what we're expecting to see. And so, and I feel like when you're really good, you kind of lose rivalries. You just talked about Georgia and Auburn, not a big deal anymore because it's not been close.
Right.
But there are a few teams that have given Georgia a fit. Ole Miss, one of them. Texas, one of them. Alabama, one of them. So that's why I always think of them more as rivalries, because – it's more of a toss-up football game. And Ole Miss, same thing. I mean, short of LSU and Bama, it felt like the Bama feud that he had got shifted over. It's like, well, shit, Saban's not here. Let's go after Kirby. It kind of felt like that in my mind. And I'm not saying that Lane Kiffin had a list of games he wanted to win this year and not want to win, but if he had one, I would almost guarantee you this one was – right there. I almost say LSU, though. I think he don't like Coach Kelly. So maybe Kelly, LSU, and then I would go Georgia right there.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Cousin Jared says, Ole Miss has double-digit wins twice ever. How are they most consistent? Because if you just look at wins.
Just, yeah, small window. I mean, Lane hasn't been down there for 20 years.
Look at that, 10, 8, yeah. 11, 10. I mean, he's just – proven wrong already. I mean, because they got 3-10 wins in the last 4 years. So yeah. That's called consistency.
I it is very hard to be consistent. And, I mean, you're seeing a lot of teams struggle to do that. And, I mean, short of Georgia and Alabama, Ole Miss, even Texas hasn't been consistent. I mean, not big picture. Here the last couple seasons they've been, you know.
Right.
Same thing with Mizzou. Last couple of seasons, but we're talking 3-4 years when you start looking at that and an overall average of 10 wins, that's consistent. Now, there's right. Some teams that are consistently bad. there is another end of the spectrum, but yeah, it is very tough to be consistent in this league.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, that's my list for today, buddy. You got anything else before we hop off the line?
No. Again, it was... I think the other rivalry is me and not drinking cold beer, Mike. I put it on here. I was like, I'm watching these damn basketball games. I was like, I cannot go through another loss without a cold beer. So today's my last day. I'm just letting you know. I'm already in vacation mode. I think that's what it is. But be sure to stay tuned in and have those notifications on, because, like I said, we got some pretty fun. And you're going to see some of you are going to be like, what is Shane doing? What is he doing? He has lost his damn mind. And then some may absolutely enjoy it, and I hope that's what you do, because that's what we're here for, is to entertain and provide SEC coverage. So just have those notifications on, and if we ever go live or we get a video up, you'll be notified. So, but other than that, I've got nothing else, cuz.
Yeah, and again, be on the lookout. We got Matt Hayes and Nick Roush interviews. I'm actually working on even a third. I can't confirm that one yet because we haven't recorded it. But many more interviews come. We're going to be doing them all off season long. Mm-hmm. Just stay locked in on the channel.
Don't you cut me off yet. One other thing, Mike, because I probably already turned off. But the big cuz, you're seeing it on Twitter. Some folks on YouTube haven't seen it. We're working up something. Mike has greenlit me to finally do some interviews on my own, like a big boy. So I'm going to go talk to a couple of folks, and I'd like to do it from who you guys want to talk to. So if you've got a guest, you're like, hey, man, I think Shane and this guy would get along and have cold beer and chew the fat, then you let me know. And send me a message on Twitter, and I'll definitely try to put them on the list. But we're putting some cool stuff together and trying something a little unique. And it may flop. If it does, we'll just delete it and act like it never happened.
That should be the name of this show.
Yeah. All right, that's all I got. You can close out now, Mike.
All right. Well, hey, we appreciate each and every one of you. Fisher, you, Tennessee Homer, we'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. that SEC podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.